This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Yeah. Okay, so you throw ideas out there. You're just guys talking. Would you trade Jason Tatum for Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah, you have to.
Like, yeah!
Let's go, Scal!
I mean, he's like, isn't he like 20 years old and 7'4"?
Yes!
Like, yeah, I mean, I would want to do it, but luckily we don't have that problem. But I think, isn't he the... I mean, he's the future of the NBA. The guy, like, defends. He does everything. So, is there an actual discussion? Did anybody actually say no?
Ted said no.
I said I'd seriously consider it.
Tatum will be like, yeah, you should probably trade for the younger player. You guys are crazy.
Ted said it. Yeah, I did throw you under the bus really quickly there. But, hey, it's what I do. Good radio. We needed to. He asked the question. We have the answer. I couldn't pretend you didn't say it.
You were right to say it.
And he didn't even hesitate.
There was zero hesitation.
He says Tatum would trade Tatum for Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
It's the future of the NBA. He's 21 years old. He's 7'3". I mean.
But people were saying that about Tatum when he first got in the league, and it took him a long time before he won his first championship, right?
Yeah.
And now he is the face, basically, or so he told us he was going to be, Ted.
Right? There you go. So, but I'm just, you get Wembanyama right now. I mean, it might take 5, 6, 7 years before you see any.
You have the time. He's 21. You have the time.
You remember how it took us a long, there's a lot, hey, split the Jays. I mean, we were getting frustrated around here about the fact that they weren't contending for titles more.
Mm-hmm. And Victor Wembanyama is going to face that. He's already facing that. He's in his second year. And I've already heard people say, hey, he's going to start winning a few more games or whatever. And he just got paired up with De'Aaron Fox. They made the trade. They're sort of building their young core of what they're going to be as a team. And we'll get to see them tonight at the Garden, where Scal has no faith in the Celtics. I don't know if you noticed that. Scal has
reasonably so,
home.
Andy.
No faith
25
at home.
Games at the Garden so far. You know what the record is?
Something and something.
They've lost.
Bingo. Host one, ladies and gentlemen.
What is it?
15-10. 15-10. They only win 3 out of every 5 games, Ted. That is not great for a defending champion. That, if anything, if I want to see one thing turn around post-All-Star break, because we're seeing the Tatum turn right now, hopefully the rest of the team gets healthy and Jaylen goes back to doing Jaylen Brown things and not just appearances on late-night shows promoting kicks. If we can see one thing happen in that home stretch before the playoffs, the Celtics return to form back at the Garden and not just being road warriors.
Well, and Scal even backed off because I joked about, you know, hopefully we don't have any game sevens that matter at the Garden. And he's like, wow, that's different playoff series, that whole argument. And it is. I agree with him. It is. But I'd still like to see what you just said, Fitzy. I'd still like to see the trend change a little bit over the second half of the season where you once again thought, I mean, I keep going back to it. We were at the Garden for the home opener. And I thought there was a legitimate chance they were going to maybe shoot for an
72?
Undefeated. No.
82 games.
41 games won at home, lose at home.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. They lost four last year. I thought, okay, can you trim that to three or two, or could you check? They got that out of the way immediately. Yeah. They've already got 10 losses. They're just not that good at home. And I know all the theories Scal and others have talked about that the
home
garden crowd actually injects life into the opposition. They take it as a challenge.
It's like you're like playing at Madison Square Garden.
Feed off of it. Yes.
Similar type thing.
There's something there, and they're the champion and the whole thing, and we're going to knock them off in their house and all of that. And that there's maybe some truth to that, but shouldn't the better team, which is the Celtics, every time they take the court, they're supposed to be the better team, correct?
Yes.
And shouldn't they also fuel off their home crowd? Shouldn't they get a little something out of that, a little buzz, to take advantage of their talents against the opposition?
You would think. You go up against teams like Dallas. You know, they lost to Houston at home, Atlanta at home.
Everybody.
And you know what, though? Don't you think there's a common theme? It's like it's the young, try-hard teams that don't know any better, that to me.
Sure.
It's where they get beat on the rebounds. They're not getting back in transition defense.
Yeah.
The second chance points, all that kind of stuff, where they get destroyed because I think they're not, I don't know, I just think they play these crappier teams and they start chucking up three-pointers, and when the ball's not going in, then they realize, okay, crap, we're in for a long one.
But they're going to do that they're going to chuck up threes. They did it the other night. They were 2 of 18. Then they swung back around and got hot, and, you know, Tatum was a big part of that, obviously. But, you know, I do think the opposite of what I said. Should they feed off the home crowd? Absolutely. I think they also grow more complacent because, well, we're at home. We're going to win. Teams always have a better record at home. We're a better team. We're going to win at home. And you act like that. You think that way. You feel that way. And inherently, the other team comes in, as you said, the tryhards. And, oh, we're not just going to Casey Jones this. We're not just going to roll the ball out there and beat whoever comes to our big bad garden and take care of business.
I also like the excuses. When I think we batted around a little bit last week where you're at home. You don't get the wife on you. You got tickets. You got a lot of people you got to make happy. There's things you got to, you know, so it's almost better to be on the road kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
For some of these guys.
Feels like we're making a lot of excuses.
Yeah.
They should just win more games at home.
They should.
Yeah, they
team
probably
simple.
Should.
They should.
Let's just look no further. They should probably be a better home team because they'll probably have to play a majority of their postseason games
at home.
Garden.
Well, yeah. At least 4 out of every 7, theoretically, right? That's the way it works.
Maybe until the final round. We'll see.
Are you excited about this game tonight? Because I am. And maybe I'm just in an excitable mood. Maybe, you know, it's been a good... Oh, you know what? It probably is. I'm feeling a little bit better health-wise. Maybe that's
it. You do sound better.
Get a little energy. Thank
you. Good for you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Turned a corner here. Although I did go to the doctor. We don't need to get it. Do you guys Google when you have a little something? Like a little of the doctor?
WebMD?
Yeah, and it tells you you're going to die.
WebMD, yeah.
Yeah, don't ever check WebMD because you suffer from a general something.
So your advice, because I haven't yet, your advice is to not check.
No, stay away.
When the doctor calls and says, we ran your blood work and we found.
I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Don't tell me.
But I've already heard it.
Oh, that's.
So you're saying I shouldn't Google it.
Now, what'd you find?
I would Google it.
I got a little. I guess we'll just do this on the air. It's not a HIPAA violation if it's me.
No, it's you are in charge of your own
elevated
record.
Red blood cells. Anybody know what that means?
Elevated red blood cells. Oh, they're a little thick.
She said it could be as simple as dehydration, like you didn't drink enough water, and she wants to check it in a month or something.
Did she want you to donate blood?
No, nope. She didn't say that.
Are you taking?
Excuse me.
Too many. I don't know.
Getting personal here? No.
Dehydration.
Elevated white blood cells obviously usually means that your body's like, hey, I'm dealing with something here that's not supposed to be here. So
I was thinking, like, more red blood cells must be good. We're all red-blooded Americans.
No.
Like, we're strong.
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't. Yeah. Fitzy, you keep it to yourself. I see you Googling. I see you searching.
I'm just currently working on my next trending sports report.
I'm excited about the Celtics game tonight, and if I find out I'm dying, that's going to cut into that. That's not going to be as fun. Watching Wembanyama, thinking about trading Tatum for Wembanyama.
So you're just excited to see Wembanyama.
Yeah, why wouldn't I be?
Yeah, no, I was just curious.
And I think they're a good young basketball team coming to the Garden.
Okay.
This is a challenge. If you think they have a problem, if Scal thinks they have a problem at home, the next big thing in the NBA, who has a new running mate in De'Aaron Fox, who has a young core team, that should be a game where a Tatum and the Celtics look like, we're not taking this for granted. Those young Bucks think they're coming for us, even though they're not that old as the Celtics. Those young Bucks, hell, I think Porzingis should have a bee in his bonnet tonight. And I haven't checked the injury report. It's the NBA. I'm always worried about you. You get excited for a game and you find out a guy's a late scratch.
Yeah.
But
I do like seeing big on big.
Yeah. And, but not I just do. Big on big. Two but guys that are
Cyborg versus Cyborg.
They're pretty much the only two guys that can match up with each other. They're freakish athletes. They can shoot from 30 feet out. They can take two steps and dunk it.
I like Jokic and in Porzingis matchup sometimes.
Yeah, but it's a little different build, a little different style. This is a challenge to Porzingis.
I feel like they're going to see this as this is the Friday before vacation weekend. Like the Celtics.
Like that mentality. You already stink at home. You're going to drop another?
Don't carry a loss into the weekend. That would be bad.
I agree, Fitzy. I feel like this is a game where they kind of are like, it's all-star break. And, you know, it's a team that we're better than. You know, we'll just start chucking up threes and see how
they're
going to
chuck up threes.
In the first quarter.
If they go in, they'll have a big lead. If they don't go in, they'll be trailing.
I'm guessing they shoot
pretty simple.
More than 14 or more threes in the first quarter.
Oh, dear Lord. They'd be on pace for almost 60.
They do that all the time.
That's right.
They have 50-plus three games all the time. Remember, they were trying to break the record early in the year, and they couldn't. They kept
missing.
I'm going to
bet that they have the most threes in the first quarter of all the quarters.
Okay.
Four quarters.
Are you also going to bet that we're talking about a good Jason Tatum game?
You know, we might, yeah. I mean,
We were just raving. Even Scal said it. I agreed with Scal, and it was surprising that he acknowledged it. That was, from my memory, the most enjoyable version of Jason Tatum.
Okay. Do you think he'll carry that all of a sudden, that second half of that Miami game from 2 days ago is all of a sudden going to turn him into...
I don't. I absolutely
MVP
do not.
Tatum?
I want to think that because you're right. That's what he is. That guy is the MVP. And I'll tell you, if I saw that guy for an extended period, I might have to rethink my trade for Wembanyama theory. Because that guy would be nightly the best player in the NBA. He'd be racking up MVP trophies, and you would be unbeatable. It's what I said the other day. Celtics are unbeatable if that's Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. If that Jason Tatum shows up to playoff series, if that Jason Tatum is available anytime you have a game 7 or you're challenged in the postseason, I'm going to play Scal's side of the street. I like our chances. We will be okay if that Jason Tatum shows up. But I don't know if he's going to. I haven't seen an extended period of that Jason Tatum, and that's where I actually take the step back and put it on Missoula. And I found it interesting that Scal was hesitant, I guess, Fitzy, to go in that direction like, oh, Missoula found the button, the cheat code for Tatum, and that's how it's going to... He just kept saying, well, on that night, it was the cheat code. With those, you know, Brown is out and Drew Holiday's out, and on that night in that situation, it worked. That, you know, don't extrapolate that and say, well, Missoula knows how to do it moving forward, because I want to think Missoula found the cheat code, because I think that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, but like it almost sounded like Scal either A, didn't want to say something that could make its way back to Missoula or something that would get thrown at him in like a pre-show interview. Like if Drew Carter's like, hey, let's throw it down to Scal who caught up with the coach earlier, and then Missoula gives him nothing. Or maybe he is privy to some information and doesn't want to divulge it. Either way, it sounded like there were two choices for Scal at a fork in the road, and he just decided to turn around and go backwards. Like, did not want to give us anything on that. So I guess he's potentially protecting something, whether it's himself or information he's privy to.
Or to his point, which it is interesting, with 82 games, you got to pick and choose when you kind of, you're frustrated, you're upset, you want to make a point to your best player. You got to really be, I don't know, you have to really think before you go there with that player. Like what did you do the same thing with him the game before, or has it been a bad week with that player? Maybe you don't want to kind of inject hard coaching at that point to that guy because he might just tune you out. So you got to really pick and choose when you go there with 82 games and all the different situations. I love that Scal brought that up, and I think it's a good point. And maybe Scal's just saying, that was just the point in which he felt like he needed to do it, and he did it, and he responded, and it's not that big of a deal.
And it also isn't a trend yet. It was a one-off situation where a certain bad end to a quarter to a certain good start to a quarter against a certain opponent, as Scal kind of painted, you need at least two dots to make a line, to draw a line, to make a connection between two things. But I'm going to choose to be optimistic. I think both of those guys in their relationship may have turned a little bit of a corner, even if you have to be careful when you push the buttons. But you don't always have to push it if you know where the button is, yeah. right? If Mazzulla kind of knows now how to do it, I'm not saying do it tonight against the Spurs and then do it against, you know, the first game out of the break.
Just give the threat of pushing right. the button. I'm going to push mm-hmm. it.
And know you can push it in June if yeah. you need to push it
right.
to get us past the Cavs or to get us past yeah. the Lakers or wherever you are at that point in the process of defending your title. So
yeah, that's like the nitrous button. You don't hit it when you're just going to go down the
right,
street.
Right.
Like, oh, the family, we're going to the right. nines. Hey, kids, let's go 200 miles an hour.
Yeah,
like,
that would be a waste. Yeah.
But if it's like, oh no, the movie starts in 7 minutes and a 15-minute drive.
Boom.
Now we're going to hit
the nitrous. And we're rolling, baby. WEEI Afternoons up next. We are going to touch on that linebacker that played for the Patriots.
How about that?
That had a weird career and would not have been my first choice to predict will work for Bill Belichick on his staff at UNC. But things have a way of working out. Ted Johnson's going to explain to us his thoughts on a former Patriots linebacker joining Bill Belichick's staff. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Apparently Stiz is in an Eminem mood here on WEEI Afternoons.
Is it a day that ends in Y?
Hey, I'm fine with it. As long as you guys don't do the lame dad jokes that you had earlier.
Ted, how do you feel about Eminem?
I'm okay with Eminem. I kind of like Eminem.
Okay.
Yeah. It should be in your heyday, your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it is.
Probably
it is.
You call him by his first, Marshall, Mr. Mathers, Marshall Mathers?
I don't. I have not called him that.
Have you ever had a moment with him like you had with Beyonce?
No, I have not. I have not.
Kind of cross paths in the NFL.
Who's the equal to Eminem, would you guys say? Who's the...
Oh, boy. This is Stiz's word.
Stiz, hip-hop or... What?
I would say Eminem's the best rapper of all time.
And who would be his close second to his, then?
Close
or just second.
Second,
Who's debated... Who would you debate that might be better than Eminem?
Some will say Tupac, like, some will say Biggie.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to actual rhyming, I would say Eminem rhymes better than probably anyone on the planet. But obviously Tupac, Biggie, Jay-Z for their impact, legacy, also, you know, Mount Rushmore.
How's Eminem doing? I mean, is he doing all right? I mean, I don't see him anymore.
Yeah, that's his new single.
That's
Houdini.
That sounds like Abracadabra.
Well, he kind of
sampled that. It's a sample. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good ear.
That's my 12-year-old's favorite song, right there.
That's all. Music is all. We just kind of retread. We kind of.
Well, yeah.
constitute old
Welcome
songs.
To the Matrix, Ted.
That's what it
Everything's
is.
Things well, already happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's also
yeah.
kind of how sports works. And this guy we're about to talk about had
Great.
Multiple tours
segway.
Through New England.
Pro Segway King.
Yeah. So the headline, Boston.com and elsewhere, former Patriots linebacker to join Bill Belichick's UNC coaching staff as a defensive assistant. So if you read that, would there be like a name that popped into your head that you're like,
Gerard Mayo.
Donta Hightower.
Gerard Mayo.
not Gerard?
I don't think that's
good. Roman Pfeiffer.
Roman Pfeiffer's
great,
a good one.
Great name.
Donta right Hightower there. Would actually be a good one.
That
I don't think.
Yeah, he would.
Just because he worked for Mayo, I can't imagine there's like, you know, 2 degrees of stabbing in the back separation or something there. Because, I think Bill would take
if
it.
If Rob feels about Matt Patricia, maybe that way, maybe feels the same way about Bill Belichick. Maybe
yeah.
Rob Ninkovich, maybe.
Rob Ninkovich. Okay, there's a lot of names.
Oh, yeah.
The name that is actually the one who is on Bill Belichick's staff is not one that I necessarily would have had near the top of the list. And that is Jamie Collins, who you recall, former Patriots second-round pick, developed into a nice player, was sort of an athlete who became a better player.
Is he at a Moso?
Smaller, yeah, smaller school, yeah. but a freakish athlete, could do everything, backflips, all these things, yeah. jump over the line and block field goals.
Just couldn't line up in the right spot.
And then get that banned from the NFL because he was so damn good at it.
Right. And then, but at the end of the first tenure here, he wanted a contract. He was in that whole group, yeah. I think, with, who was it at the time? Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, maybe Malcolm Butler. There was like a group of guys that were all going to need to be paid and come. And he wasn't getting his. He started to be weird. If you remember, there was that one day they filmed him going out to practice with like sandwich bags on his hands and like elastics. And it just got weird. And then Mike Lombardi actually came on this station on the old morning show and was ripping him about how he was freelancing. You got to take him off the field on third down. He can't even play this, that, blah, blah. And they shipped his ass to Cleveland,
ugh.
Which was like Siberia ugh. At the time.
It was a big story.
Yeah,
there was a game against Buffalo where the Patriots went down early, then ended up throttling the Bills. And I remember the commentary was that Jamie Collins was just all over the place that game.
Well, he was a good player. He was an athlete.
Yeah, he was.
And but I don't mean like awesome as in like, what the hell is Jamie Collins thinking?
Yeah, no. Just like you could say about Junior Seau, except he'd make plays. Like, there's some linebackers that's
right.
what they're allowed to do. That's what they're at their best.
You better be like Junior Seau.
Right, and I get it.
Yeah.
But I also remember they traded Jamie Collins to Cleveland, and one Devin McCourty, who I think qualifies as a leader, who I think qualifies as a smart guy,
yeah.
Sort of probably has the temperature of the team, mm-hmm. said, I don't know how you get better trading your best defensive player.
Hmm.
Was his response to that trade. I'm not going to say they hated their coach, but there was a little bit of
get to Tom Jackson. Where's Tom Jackson?
There was a little bit of that mentality.
Similar to what Lawyer did when he left.
Right. What did they just do?
Yeah.
And I know Jamie Collins ended up coming back. He made a Pro Bowl in Cleveland, made a bunch of money, came back, blah, blah, blah. But now Jamie Collins is a defensive assistant at North Carolina, and I never expected it.
Yeah.
And
Jamie Collins told TMZ Sports, he goes, blessed for the opportunity. I love that dude, being Bill Belichick. He loved me, obviously. Can't get rid of me. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, he did get rid of you at one point.
Yeah, he did.
Belichick obviously had to have a little bit more than a soft spot for Jamie Collins. He had to have a respect for his talents and some sort of affection because Jamie Collins came back played for the Pats four times.
Yeah, no, it kept
coming back. Four times.
Oh, yeah, he kept coming back. So I will say this.
Wow.
Belichick, your personal experiences aside, Ted, just observing from afar, Belichick has a value on everyone, a financial value.
Yes, he does.
And so Deion Branch, love you, mean it. Oh, wait, you want to be paid how much? Hey, Seattle, you want Deion Branch? Deion Branch traded.
Yep.
Jamie Collins, you're a good player. You're versatile. I can have you. Wait, you want how much? Mm-hmm. Cleveland, you want Jamie Collins? Then Jamie Collins plays out his career in Cleveland, and you're like, oh, you're on the backside? I'll take you back. It's not personal. It's just business. If you want to come here and play for the new contract, happy to have you. Deion Branch, you want to come back? Come on down. We need you. You'll help us beat the Ravens and these other teams. So some of these things where we look at it as very personal, there's a personal level to it. I do think the cold-hearted leader that Bill Belichick was, it wasn't personal. I didn't want Jamie Collins at $50 million.
I disagree.
He wanted Jamie Collins at $5 million.
Well, hold on, Ted, real quick. I know you've got a different feeling.
That is.
So
I
think
I think every contract was personal with him.
So it was personal when he kicked Deion Branch to Seattle.
Or how about trading Richard Seymour in the middle of the night for a first round pick?
Personal. Really? You don't think all of this contract, if you try to negotiate a contract with him and you ask for more money than what he gives you, offers you,
you're
then
gone.
He takes it personal. You are dead to him. You do not ask for
So why
for
does
a
he bring those guys back?
Because
you're not dead to him if he wants to bring you back.
Oh, no, you're dead to him as far as at that point you're dead to him.
At
and
that
then
cost.
You, and then the other team pays you all the money.
Temporary deadness, yeah.
And then he brings you back, limping back, because you have no other, you know, where else to go at a reduced rate. And then he welcomes you back with open arms.
Right. So yeah. it's not as personal as it is business.
Oh, no. At the time, it's personal. At the time,
it may feel personal.
He might change his personal feelings over time, and he brings the player back. But at that moment in time, it feels very personal. I think it is personal.
I knew Stiz would have something to say because he is the Belichick defender.
No, I just wanted to ask, and I'm sure you guys will remember, didn't Edelman tell a funny story about he went into Bill and was asking for more money, and Bill was like, what are you going to do with $20 million? You don't need that. What
did he say that? I would love
trucks?
To know.
I'll find the audio,
What do you think it was personal with Adam Vinatieri? Did it sound personal to Adam Vinatieri?
I don't.
To Vinatieri, he was offended.
It was personal. Yeah, I think the player side can take it personally.
I
probably would too because I'm sensitive.
Let's just say, I don't know, let's say the Indianapolis Colts are willing to give Adam $200,000 more than what the Patriots are.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam comes back to the Patriots and says, hey, Bill, you know, they're offering me a couple hundred thousand dollars more. Will you up it? And he says, no, I won't. And then Adam goes and plays for the Colts for 12 years and has a Hall of Fame career and retires as a Colt.
This was a hypothetical, right?
It's a total hypothetical.
That merits a classic, schmuck call.
You don't think that's
exactly
personal?
Fitzy. I don't think it's personal. I think he draws a line in the finances and says, Adam is this age, his kickoffs lost this many yards over the last couple of years outdoors.
You know why it's personal? Because he sets the market himself. Everything is in his brain is how the market is in his brain.
That's arrogance, Ted. Then that's arrogance.
Right. Okay.
It feels very personal to the player.
I also think it's bullying, on a sense. He feels like he has the biggest pile of chips at the table, and he thinks Adam Vinatieri wants to be a Patriot. He thinks Tom Brady wants to be a Patriot. I can pay Tom Brady $20 million. I don't have to go to $25 or $30 million a year. And I think he tries to play that game of chicken, feeling like he has the upper hand in the negotiation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I think it probably works. Sometimes it doesn't. I think some guys that are good enough, those are the guys that can take advantage, the guys that are good enough. Screw you. I don't need you. I know there's more money out there. I know there's teams that'll take me tomorrow and give me more money. So I don't actually think it's personal. I think it's very cold-hearted business bullying and negotiation and leverage plays. And I think now some of them may have bitten him in the butt. Certainly the Tom Brady one didn't work out great for him.
No, it didn't.
But I think Jamie Collins is an example. He brought him back as a player at a certain cost later in his career multiple times, and now he brings him to his coaching staff.
I'll give you the best one. Of all the ones, you should probably rename the section of Route 1 where you get off 495 south and make your way up north on Route 1 back to the stadium. They should rename that the Patrick Chung Memorial Route 1 segment because Chung was like, hey, I'd like to get paid. Nope. Okay, I'm going to Philadelphia. Sucks for a year. Comes back. Hey, coach, guess who's back? And then Patrick Chung all of a sudden gets better and wins three Super Bowls.
Yeah. No, and there's examples of that. I think it's more economics than it is personal most of the time. I really do. I'm not saying never personal.
I'll say this. I would say it got more personal, I think, as the years went on.
Yeah, and I think Fitzy, you know, personal and an arrogance, there was a certain, I think, dictatorial leadership style that you should take what I'm offering. I'm being very, very nice.
It's funny. He doesn't tell you when you negotiate with him, if you don't accept my first offer, I'm going to ship you to Siberia.
Right.
It would help if he just got that out of the way early in the negotiation.
It's unspoken.
You know what, lawyer? You know what? If you don't accept my offer, I'm going to cut you the week before the season starts. That might help get the player signed if you know what's coming on the other end.
Well, maybe other players figure out when they see that one guy get shipped to Siberia, and maybe that he doesn't have to say it, future generations.
That's probably what he was thinking, and he was right in thinking that.
WEEI Afternoons, we led the day off talking Red Sox. I'm excited about spring training. Fitzy's excited about spring training. Fitzy's excited about the youth movement and Garrett Crochet. We're going to find out if Ted Johnson is excited about the baseball season. We're going to talk a little bit more Red Sox. I'll remind you what the public is saying on my Twitter poll of the day. So revisit Red Sox spring training and all that it is as we get excited for the baseball season. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.